I left Mont-Galant at dawn. It was the only way to avoid baking in the sun. Mont-Galant is nowhere. That is to say, a womb from which I freed myself the way a calf extracts itself from its mother. Legs first, willing to risk its life in order to tear itself away from the loins holding it back. I had witnessed it dozens of times before I turned 7, the threat of a bad end looming as a calf was being born. Papa always allowed it to happen that way, nature deciding who lives and who dies. And yet Papa loved his livestock. He had 5 or 6 head of cattle by the time I left. They lived around the outskirts of the property, and their prolonged lowing grew hoarse as they insisted we take them out to the corrugated iron trough in the middle of the field. One by one, Papa would unhook the chains from the stakes and they would run to the trough. On scorching days, they'd strangle themselves if he didn't move quickly enough. He would settle them with a sharp cry, "La!" and slap the nervous bulls with the butt end of his machete. He left the little ones unchained for their first 3 months so they could stay close to their mothers. Back then, Hilaire treated his children like he treated his animals. A glass full of tenderness, a bucket full of authority, and a barrel full of débrouillez-vous, best figure it out yourselves. At the sparsely populated edge of the town, 1/2 hour on foot down the main path, which even by our standards then you couldn't call a road, there was only us and the cattle. In those days, Mont-Galant dozed, curled tight into itself. Guadeloupeans still say this about Mont-Galant. C'est le chien qu'a jappé paquet. Your father never spoke to you in Creole, so I'll translate it for you. Mont-Galant is where dogs bark with their tails. I did see some strange dogs and other apparitions late at night. Hilaire would often leave us at the house by ourselves and I would wait for him by the window. As soon as the sun set, we would close the shutters and the hens would climb one by one to perch high atop the mango tree. The soft sound of the crickets muffled all other noises around the house. We children played around the table, naked. We fought over a doll made of grass or a frightened Souda hermit crab. Night would settle in with its gold enameled moon against the dark sky, and the light from the kerosene lamp would flicker. We'd fumble around in the dark as we unfolded our beds. I'd often have a hard time sleeping and would open the shutters, looking out for Hilaire on the horizon. At 16, I waited for the right moment, braved the spirits of the night, and as soon as I heard the song of the pipiri that morning, hit the road, never to return. There may be more important departures in my life, all the way up to my departure from this earth, when the Virgin Mother will open her arms to me and say with her beautiful soft voice, "This is the end." But the only two that truly counted were when I left Mont-Galant in 1947 and when I left Pointe-à-Pitre 20 years later, the afternoon when I took my first flight to Paris, leaving behind everything that I had built. Though it's been an eternity since I arrived in Paris, I still haven't quite found a place that feels like home. Sometimes I run into other Antillians, but they live out in the suburbs. That no man's land where buildings have sprouted like sick flowers in the middle of muddy fields. I see so few Antillians in the capital. Only the unhappiest and the most tenacious of them are still hanging on here. All the rest are just spineless. I have known Algerians, too thin, still working at the factory. Taciturn Chinese vendors who sell us the soursop fruit that grew so easily behind our house back home. If I ever fight with the Senegalese who collect my trash and yell at them to go back to their country, they glare at me and call me a slave sold off by their ancestors. But they are all foreigners. whereas I am just as French as these whites who mistake me for an African.